Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show, the show that takes the mystery out of spirituality with your host, David Gagan, engineer, science director, scholarly researcher of life's mysteries, and author of The Endless Journey.
Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show. I'm host Dave Gagan, and today's show is titled Spirit Guides. This is the show where we talk about subjects which are critical to our happiness and spiritual evolution, but all too often, we don't think enough about them. Our goal is to break up complicated topics into small enough bits that we can integrate some aspects into our lifestyle. Please note that all the chat room questions will be answered in the chat room on next week's show, as well as posted on my website, which is davidgagan.com, hopefully within a day or so of the show. When you visit the site, you can also ask questions about other shows as well as additional ones for this show. You can also listen to any previous show on iHeartRadio at iHeart.com by searching for either David Gagan or Common Sense Spirituality on iHeart. We encourage and welcome your questions. We've all had things occur to us in our lives, which we either could not explain or had the feeling that someone was watching over us and helping us get through a particularly difficult experience. In reality, we probably were being assisted by the spiritual world. Have you ever wondered who in the spiritual world was working with you? Today's guest believes that she not only regularly contacts what she refers to as her spiritual team, but she can teach you and I to do it as well. Our guest today is Mickey Jacobs, author of Soul Secrets, a spiritual guidebook to your team, angels, spirit guides, and departed loved ones. Mickey is an internationally renowned Israeli-American medium and spiritual teacher. Through her book, lectures, workshops, spiritual retreats, radio show interviews, YouTube videos, webinars, and various media interviews, Mickey teaches people how to view their personal life and the world around them from a soul's perspective. Mickey Jacobs, welcome to the show, Mickey.
Thank you, David. It's lovely being here. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. Now, I read your book, enjoyed your book, and in it you said that you were not always a medium and didn't always have these capabilities. How did you get them? Did you work hard to get them, or did they all of a sudden show up sometime later on in life?
Very few things just showed up, so no, I worked very hard on it. You know, raised and born in Israel, Dave, in quite an Orthodox Jewish family, I was so far from spirituality. And then at the age of 18, I served in the Israeli army for 3 years. I was actually a shooting instructor and then a sergeant. So I was so far from what I do now. Of course, my belief as a spiritual teacher that you cannot achieve peace with war, just amongst so many other views that change since, back then when I was in Israel. Then I moved to the U.S. some 20 plus years ago and had other friends, obviously not just Jewish, you know, from all other religion. And you know, my religious belief did not quite make sense to me anymore, meaning growing up fearing a God that to me felt like a male figure with a beard and a cane that I should be worried if I don't follow his rules, and he just didn't. So that's kind of what pushed me a little bit more looking and kind of poking in spirituality. I learned God as energy. I started diving into other religions and realize they have their own kind of silly rules and regulation. And that's led me to meditation, where essentially mean I learn how to quiet the mind. And yes, Dave, it was very, very long and hard and dedicated work. And once I did the work, once I was able to quiet the mind, that's when it came overnight, because I literally heard a voice, and that was of the Archangel Michael. I started to channel him, and then of course my spirit guide, guardian angel, and the rest just went forward.
Now, when you talk to the spiritual world, can you bring anybody in, or is it just your spiritual team that you bring in?
I can bring anybody in. I'm very, very careful as to who, so I try to stick with people's team. Of course, clients that come to me or main event, so I tune into their team, their spirit guides, angels, departed loved ones. But, you know, everything have good, everything have bad, so I have to try to kind of stick to the angels, the angelic dimension, where those are very high in vibration beings. So you have to be careful as to obviously lead a lifestyle that keep my own vibrational energy high, so I do not attract anything out of the dense entities. But no, I can call anyone, including pets.
Yeah, that's that is interesting. I've heard other mediums say the same thing.
You know, I tell people, Dave, everything that move, I can pick up on.
that's truly an interesting capability. Now, you know, one of the things in your book that I really liked is you said that this Earth is one of the most difficult planets to incarnate onto because of the difficult lives we have to endure. You know, if this is the case, and I've heard this before, if this is the case, why do we choose Earth? Do we choose it, or are we forced to be here? Why wouldn't we choose an easier planet, someplace that we could, you know, kind of have an easier life?
Well, Dave and Mickey did not choose Earth. Our soul did, which why I always tell people, I'm teaching you here the perspective of the souls. The souls, which are, we are spark of the Creator, if you will. All we want is to move forward in awareness, become more like Him, not in an ego way, of course, express more of Him. And the more we grow spiritually, the more powerful we become, not ego, spiritual power, the more we are able to express what we inherit of Him. So planet Earth, although very harsh, of course, one of the harshest dimension, because of the complexity of the physical body and loss and tragedy and experience and emotion and ego, we love, once again, not Mickey, the soul, love to come in here because it's such an accelerated growth. There are other more friendly dimensional, more friendly planet that sometimes we go there for an R&R. As I call it.
All right. That's but when things get too tough and we've had too many bad lives, we take a life or two off.
That's right. But really, most of us actually rush to come in here because, again, do not think about it from the perspective of the mind or humanity, that, of course, we would remain in the beautiful home of the spirit world. But and as to your other question, no, we're the one that choose to come, when to come, to what kind of life, how long of a life. Nobody ever force us. We have free will here. We have free will there.
You also, in the book, you talk about a blueprint, and before we come into this life, we create a blueprint. You know, I kind of call it a life plan, but it's, you know, it's basically, you know, this is roughly what you want to accomplish in in this particular life. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what about this blueprint? You know, what's in it? What aspects does it address?
Sure. So an incarnation or lifetime or life plan or blueprint, it's a quite a detail-oriented event, as I call it, Dave. It takes us a long time to plan an incarnation alongside our beloved spirit guides or teachers. So the reason it takes so long, because it is very calculated, meaning all the weaknesses that we were unable to accomplish or rise above from previous lifetimes must enter into a future incarnation. Karma, which simply means that we need to balance any negative energy that the personality accumulated. does have to get into a future incarnation. Of course, teaching others, because again, remember, our soul is all about love and unity. So there is a lot of different aspects that need to get into an incarnation, into the blueprint, including the significant soulmates, meaning significant people with whom we're going to share the life. So it takes, people ask me, how long between life? Which, of course, I ask spirits over the years, roughly, never less than 70, 80 years, if you can translate it to our time. So to show you how much we take our sweet time in the spirit world to plan a next incarnation, which why, exactly why, we need to cherish the blueprint, cherish life, use it for growth, not be silly and recklessly ended, not kill ourselves ever, because it took our soul long time to plan the life we live now, good or bad.
Who all plans this? I'm hard pressed to believe that we sit down and do it by ourselves. Who all supports us in creating our blueprint?
So our spirit guides or teachers, as sometimes I call them, we have a primary spirit guide, we have helpers, there are other beings that sometimes help us, and soulmate, Dave, is such a overused and abused word on planet Earth. You know, women come to me, of course, where's my soulmate? And I tell her, well, that's your ex.
So I suspect that didn't go over real well.
No, it's kind of like a check, please. So the souls with whom we often enter planet Earth, they help us. Again, it's all about unity and love. I teach you, you teach me, I help you to balance your karma, you help me. So we certainly do not do it alone.
Yeah. So let's go back to your soulmates, because I like how you've addressed that both in the book and here. So a soulmate is really somebody. They don't even have to be somebody that we are super attracted to and get along with and such. They're basically somebody that has come down, another soul that has come down to help us deal with certain. Whatever we're dealing with, maybe they're a set of problems, and maybe they're the antagonist, if you will, that we need to address some of these issues. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct, Dave, which why I jokingly say X, because the people right. that are difficult in your life, especially in an interpersonal relationship or partnership or marriage, because that is the most potential to grow. So those, be certain, are your soulmate, the people that get under your skin, the people that reflect back to you what you supposed to grow. Those are our soulmate, which why we always need to remain friend or loving or wish exes all the best. So soulmate are just other soul that belong to our soul group. In a nutshell, we kind of grow as groups in the spirit world, or clusters of souls that are between like 8 to 20 souls. That does not mean that we don't love other souls in the spirit world. It's mean that I came to realize over the years through channeling that we grow in that group. And among our immediate soul group, those are our soulmates, which we often incarnate planet Earth together. Sometimes some of the soul group members kind of stay in the spirit world in order to help us here. But essentially, those are our soulmates. Very, very important to our growth on Earth.
Yeah. And the other thing that you mentioned is that within the blueprint, we try to create both our physical but also our emotional and mental bodies. So what you're saying is, you know, we're a lot more complicated. Our body is a lot more complicated than and it looks complicated as it is, and the medical world would tell you complicated, but it's even more complicated than that because we have various aspects of our body, and they all need to be created, and that's part of the blueprint. It's part of the aspects within the blueprint. Is that right?
Everything is part of the blueprint, Dave, specifically the physical body, what we like, the weaknesses, the strength. Naturally, our wise and powerful soul would not incarnate into a new body that have all weaknesses or all strength. There is no growth by that. It must have some weaknesses or some strength to help us. And that includes the emotional body. Everything enter there. Because remember, the body you incarnate into has to do with the previous lifetimes, what you need to accomplish, what you need to learn, what you need to teach others. And indeed, the body is a fascinating machine, incredible. The more I channel about it, the more fascinated I am with it. So everything is there. So you chose it, might as well like the body.
Now, you also say that the moment when and where we're born is in there. Why is that important? What difference does it make, the time of day? I mean, this is the aspects of astrology. Why do you think this is important?
That is correct. It is the aspect of astrology, which I'm not quite good at, to be frank. But it is important, the precise moment, as it's related to, obviously, the stars. And yeah, as well as the exit from planet Earth, Dave. You know, I always tell people, unless we're stupid and reckless, which we will exit early, the time of death, as well as the manner of death, very much predesigned by our soul. I mean, for the most part, there are, of course, what I refer to as real accident, quote unquote, because once again, we have free will. The bottom decisions are for us to make, no matter how much, you know, protection we have from our beloved guardian angels. If we're stupid, we're gonna die. But yes, indeed, the enter as well as the exit has to do with the precise path that we choose in a future incarnation.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, a lot of people do talk about the entrance into the world. Not very many people talk about the fact that the exit is planned and is also important. And I guess, you know, when I look at it as from an astrological perspective, is, you know, that everything vibrates, and, you know, obviously including us, and the vibrations from the planets, from the you know, from any large bodies impact the newborn when they get out. I look at it as when they get out from the protection of the vibrations of the mother, and that's probably why it has such an importance on how we live our life and what's ingrained within us by the fact that it's the impact of these other objects that I guess science hasn't quite figured out, but they're working on it.
That is correct. And as for the exit, yes, you know, it's a difficult concept to swallow. It was for me. I mean, I'm a feisty Israeli medium. I didn't just accept it. So, because, you know, say again, Dave.
No, I'm kidding. I'm saying, you're saying to the spirits, what are you talking about when
that is correct.
My death is planned?
Yeah. Because that concept is okay when you're healthy. When I have people come to me and their child suffer from cancer, that's a bit more difficult concept to accept. Nonetheless, that's what it is.
Yeah. And you say in the book that that the blueprint has two primary functions. And the one function is to have experiences, so that to allow us to evolve. And the other is to work off karma. Can you talk about these a little bit?
Of course. So everything, the only reason as to why we are here is to contribute to the soul evolution or growth, and that's through experiences. So again, our fellow soulmates and experience and the up and down and the body and the mind. So otherwise, the soul would never leave the beautiful spirit world and be trapped within the body for whatever years we have to be here. So everything led to it. Why is that important to know? Because then I'm hoping that the listeners or people that come across my teaching is that you look at your life from perspective of learning. I mean, it's a huge difference. It's made a huge difference to me, Dave, when I looked at my challenges from a perspective of the soul. Hence what I'm doing here, because things then are a bit softer. That does not mean the challenges are not difficult, nor does it mean that Mickey have a shortcut for challenges. It just different because you look a little bit deeper as to what you need to learn from it. So very, very important perspective as to what does that mean that we come here to grow? What does that mean that we come here to learn? As for karma, which is just again just a name or law of consequences, let's call it. If someone do something negative, from stealing an apple to killing someone, which is the ultimate negativity, then what's happened within the energy field of the soul is an imbalance in the energy that need to be balanced, meaning that the same experience have to be experience again in order for the energy to kind of balance itself. Otherwise, if the balance is not, if the energy is not even, meaning through the negativity of the act, the soul kind of stuck and unable to continue to move forward with the growth. So therefore, it's a universal law, a program by God, if you will, that karma must be balanced technically in order for us to keep moving forward. The reason I gave the example of apple or a murder, because of course not all consequences are the same. If someone steal and someone kill, then the energy that need to be balanced is different.
Yeah. So you don't see karma as a reward and punishment system as much as you see it as kind of a teaching tool to balance us out and to make sure that we learn what's right, what's positive, and what isn't. Is that how you see it?
I'm very glad you brought it up, Dave, because I never ever use the word punishment. There is punishment in a way that it is us, whether we harm others, we move forward to the spirit world, the soul realized there was no any growth that was accomplished, which is the ultimate disappointment for our soul. Because remember again the perspective of the soul, we are spark of the creator, therefore loving, multidimensional, powerful beings. So the punish is us with us. So no, there is no punishment ever. God is not involved in our day-to-day life, what we eat or if we go to synagogue or church. He created program. Karma is just one of the programs. So essentially, if we harm someone else, then we punish the growth of the soul, which is the only reason as to why we're here. So the only punish is us with us. Which walk?
Yeah, I really like that. I agree with you 100% on that. Did you ever run across a situation where somebody accomplished everything in their blueprint before they died, and then all of a sudden you say, hey, you know, what do I get a complete ride? I mean, you know, does that ever happen?
Hey, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be God. No, as long as we're here, there's still to learn. Otherwise, we would not be able to talk to them because they would go home. So, So,
hey, Mickey, let's talk about the spirit teams. Now, you mentioned that and in the book, and that's really a big part of the book. And you say that there are three misconceptions that people have about spirits and the spiritual teams. And let's go through them. I'm going to remind you what you said, although you probably already know. But one of them was spirits are not people. Talk about that for a second.
Of course. And when we say spirits, and if that's include angel as well, they are of course different than the spirit guides. Our spirit guides are human souls that used planet Earth for growth like we do. They accumulated enough spiritual power, enough wisdom, where they do not need to use planet Earth anymore for growth. So they remain in the spirit world, assign themselves to human beings that still here on planet Earth and become their teachers. So in that way, I mean, they're not people. A lot of people come to me, Dave, and they ask, is my spirit guide my departed grandfather? That's what I mean. No, they're not family member that we lost. They are our eternal teachers, as they refer to them by angels, different beings, different, they belong to the angelic dimension or kingdom, if you will. So neither one of them are people per se, they're spirits.
Okay. And then people often wonder, well, you know, if the spirit and his job is to take care of us, a lot of the time I'm not a real interesting person. You know, I'm asleep. I'm you know, I'm playing cards. I'm daydreaming. You know, what does the spirit do? You know, talk about that a little bit.
You know, I'm not surprised you asked that, because it's quite fascinating how many people ask me, what about when we make love or in the shower? They don't care, Dave. They don't. They're there always, never leave us. And even when we think we just veg out and watch television, they kind of try to inspire us through inner voice, gut feeling, to become better, to accomplish, to have potential, to pay attention to ideas. Constantly, their job is to make sure we remain within the path that we chose alongside them. So that's the beauty of it. They plan the incarnation with us. They know what we're supposed to accomplish at each specific junction in the life, and they help constantly and until the last minute, until we go back home.
Yeah. What, you know, because of this, because they know our blueprint and they know where we are in the process of executing that and such, do we really need to ask them for assistance? Wouldn't they just give it to us anyway? Do we need to ask them for help?
Ask is kind of make the connection better. That's why I also teach people to give names to their team. I gave name to my guardian angel. I called her Iris, and I gave a Hebrew name to my spirit guide, poor guy. So I actually call him Lochem, which is a warrior in Hebrew. So people ask me, what if I get it wrong? It doesn't matter. They don't have names anyway. But names make things vibrational, which is why you use the name Mickey, I use the name Dave. It's make it more personal, more connection. So yes, do ask, do pray. Prayers are very powerful to your team, certainly to the Creator. But no, they know what we need. And better, they know what we need for our highest good. Meaning sometimes we ask things and they say, no way, because they obviously foreseen that we're going to go with the head against the wall. So you can ask, talk to them. They are your teachers, friends, protectors, immensely love us, immensely love us, Dave. I can have tears of joy when I try to express how much we are loved, how much we are not alone. So, yes, do ask, and then let it go and trust.
Okay. Let's talk about the individual team members. And you mentioned a couple of them. Let's go through them one at a time. Spirit guides. You say we have two of them. Tell us a little bit about what these spirit guides are, and where they came from, and how they interact with us.
Sure. So the spirit guides are once again human souls, so they do not need to incarnate anymore for the most part. Sometimes spirit guides would incarnate into planet Earth because, frankly, we are in trouble, collectively humanity. So sometimes they would enter for a specific mission. But for the most part, our spirit guide remain in the spirit world and guide us. Spirit guides in readings or event or channeling would provide for me the most information about the day-to-day life of the people, because they've been here, because they incarnated into thousands and thousands of lifetimes through all the forms, male, female, heterosexual, homosexual, black, white, poor, rich. So obviously they are aware what it is to be on planet Earth, live life on planet Earth. So they are the one that help us with our day-to-day advice, professional life, marriage, relationship. Guardian angels don't kind of give me life advice, because that's the purpose of our spirit guide. They watch over us. Essentially, they protect us. And the main purpose of our guardian angel is to make sure we do not die or exit planet Earth prior to the pre-designed time. So again, that is when I always like to mention again, we have free will and we must use it wisely. Otherwise, if we reckless, there is so much they can protect us. So archangels, which also are a part of our team, are more help us with emotional weaknesses that once again we bring from previous lives and we are unable to rise above. Anger and jealousy and rage and envy. So over the years, I realized that the archangels members of our team help inspire us, help us specifically with fears. So the archangel, in addition to, they also provide protection when needed, but the archangel basically there for emotional weaknesses. The last member of our team are our departed loved ones. Sometimes they accompany us, sometimes they don't. When they do, they of course support us with love. It's important also to mention real quick here, Dave, that we have a lot of other beings that come in and out of our life as needed. If we lose someone, if we're in a difficult through health or illness. So when I use the phrase team, I only refer to the permanent group of spirits that never leave us, ever, from the moment we come until the moment we leave. In addition to them, we have a lot of other beings and angels and ascended masters that once again come in and out of the life.
And these are kind of specialists. When we need something in particular, they come in and,
exactly.
And say, okay, I'm good at this, I'll help you out.
Oh, yeah, that's cute. Yes, they are specialists.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying specialist spirits also help us with a specific line of work. I know that my husband is very creative man. So when I watch him when he's in his shop and he's building his furniture, I can see a bizarre looking spirit guides around him. That help him with the inspiration for creativity.
There you go. Now, one of the things you said, and I've never seen this before, is that you said that we have two spirit guides, and one of the spirit guides, our main spirit guides, stays with us through all incarnations. That I found very interesting. In other words, you know, once we start becoming a human, to the time that we get through the whole thing, we have the same spirit guide all the way through. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct, Dave. So we have what I called the primary spirit guide that give me again if I were to ask for information about the person. Then the primary spirit guide would provide all the information with knowledge to previous lives because, again, they accompany us every lifetime. In addition to the primary, it's what I call a trainee, which is, I know it's kind of funny, but the reason I came up with that name, because when people come to me alongside and their team behind them, there is always one or two spirit guide that kind of almost take notes. And when I ask as to who are those additional spirit guides, they kind of learn the trade, if you will. So it's quite fascinating that there is the primary spirit guide indeed accompany us every single incarnation on Earth. And there is various other spirit guides kind of in the background. By the way, Dave, the archangels, because they are so spiritually aware, spiritually powerful, we can share a same archangel together. Meaning, if I have the archangel Michael accompany, another human being might also have the archangel. So archangels, we can share between us. Spirit guides, we don't. And guardian angel, we don't.
Okay. Now, the guardian angel, you said it might be with us just during one life, and then you might get another guardian angel the next life. Is that correct?
That is correct. Because guardian angel enter the life depending on the severity of the incarnation, which sometimes we take. So if it's a difficult, risky personality, if those are difficult path with difficult experiences, illness, weakness of the physical or mental body, then we would have a specific archangel, a guardian angel that would provide additional protection.
You mentioned that we can get signs from the spirit, and each, whether they're departed loved ones or spirit guides or angels, what are the various, some of the things that we might not recognize, but if we were aware of them, we might say, oh, this is a sign.
You know, Dave, our team constantly try to communicate with us via sign. So once you are aware, you realize how much communication we have over throughout the day. Because again, it takes a long time to, or interest, frankly, if someone want to do what I do in any point of life or in life to become able to channel spirit. But every day, all day, through TV and radio and songs and other people that brought their messages to us and departed loved one give us pennies and mess with our electronic and cell phone and bring certain smells. I mean, I cannot tell you the beautiful concept of signs from spirits. It is, of course, another reason why is it important for us to grow spiritually, to observe our life from perspective of the soul, to not be so identified with planet Earth and our life and worry and money and family. Because the more we think, the less the focus in spirituality, and in this case, signs. So detach a little bit, be a little bit more energetically lighter, and look around. Again, once you are aware, once you trust the concept of signs, they are absolutely everywhere. And the more we see, the more we get, and the more magical the signs are. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you for bringing that up, Dave.
Now let's talk about making contact. You're obviously capable of making contact with the spiritual world, but maybe you have some psychic gifts that other people don't have, or maybe other people do have a certain amount of psychic gifts that they're not using. How would I go about starting to make contact with my spiritual team?
Of course. First, I am a little bit of an unusual story in a way that I was in my early 30s. So usually, you know, you hear the stories about mediums that saw spirits around their cribs when they were 4 or 5 and they knew who died. Well, as I say right off the bat, I never saw any of that. Obviously, I was completely far from spirituality. So the point of all that, first and foremost, if I did it, anyone can do it. I absolutely do not have some special major gift. Absolutely not, Dave. Everyone can do that. Having said that, there are a few rules. First of all, you want to do that. A lot of people are not interested in doing it, whether it is fear or whatever other reason. Another, you know, rule, if you will, it's a lot of spiritual work. I was just a stubborn Israeli girl, and I did not stop meditate until I tell myself I will master my ability to quiet the mind, and therefore once the mind is quiet, I was able to heal spirit. So it's a lot of spiritual work every day, all day. If Mickey has drama, if my body is not balanced, if I think too much, if I worry too much, if I identify with planet Earth, if I do not look at life from the perspective of the soul, I do not and cannot expect to show up in a reading and channel. So again, you know, in general, Dave, I believe we are spiritually lazy species, meaning people don't want to change. In a lot of respect, I didn't over the years. But if you want to channel, you must. You need to grow spiritually. You need to do the inner work, external work. And again, it's all day, every day. And then you heal spirits.
Now let's talk about, you mentioned a minute ago, balance the body. What do you mean?
The body have the higher self, which is the percentage of the energy of the soul that incarnated into this life to experience life on planet Earth. So just kind of in a nutshell. So obviously you want the soul within the body to be somewhat comfortable, quote unquote. So it's also obviously your vehicle on Earth. So you cannot have the body in disharmony. You, for the most part, Dave, you know, I certainly don't want the listener to think Mickey is some sort of a saint. Far, far from it. As we establish the fact that I'm here, obviously I have still a lot to learn. But you want to make sure you please the body for the most part. Body have its own intelligent, once again, fascinating machine. It knows if you care for it, accept it, nurture it. A lot of women nowadays, they don't like the age, they don't want to age, they don't accept the body, don't like the look. So you absolutely want to make sure you are one with the body for the age you are, for the shape you are. Try to eat good for the most part. Once the body in harmony, the soul within the body is able to kind of align itself with you a little bit more, because a nurtured body is energetically lighter body, and therefore everything is a little bit more spiritual, for lack of better words.
Yeah. So you need to do things like get an adequate amount of sleep, eat good food, exercise. You even mentioned some things in the in your book about the clothes and the fabric that you wear, that you have to have certain I'm not saying you have to, it's just some things, some of the colors, some of the things, they help you have have more of a balanced perspective for your body.
Of course, Dave. And you know, again, you don't have to necessarily get the channeling from spirit, what I wrote. Use your common sense. Obviously, water is important, not only for the cells and the well-being of the body. Water create a silky environment for the chi to flow within the body. Sleep. When we sleep, when we finally deep sleep, the soul exit the higher self, the percentage of the soul, exit the body to kind of recharge itself in the spirit world. So use your common sense. Again, some energetically heavy food are not good for us, like caffeine and alcohol and carbohydrates too much, sugar. Of course, that would be completely different than energetically lighter food, vegetables and water and good grains. So you don't have to know the specific spiritual explanation of it. Use your common sense, understand the concept, and just follow your intuition, which is essentially a system in which spirits inspire us.
You talk about visualization as being an aid, and you'd mentioned before, you know, visualizing names and appearances and such like that of your spiritual team. But you also mentioned it as far as healing, and both healing ourselves and healing others. Could you talk about that just a minute?
Of course. Everything have energy, Dave, which why I teach people, watch your thoughts, watch your words, watch your reactions. Now, reactions, people say, well, of course, because you can see the reaction and you kind of know I need to, you know, perhaps work on my lashing out on anger. But thoughts are powerful, more so powerful than reaction, because they don't bound by anything. So beware, observe your internal dialogue, your thoughts about yourself, about others. Visualization essentially is feeding, energetically speaking, what you want to accomplish. It's real. It's true. Even if you don't quite see it, like a lashing out, or let's say example of anger or reaction. So close your eyes, visual what you want, from a life partner to a new house you want, a job. And when it's come to visualization, spirits always taught me over the years, teach people, aim for the stars, and we get you as close to it as possible. So yes, visualization, quite a powerful spiritual technique. Very much real, very much work.
And you also mentioned that you can also, you know, the healing, you know, you can, if you think about it, you can send your energy and your vibrations to either a part of your body or to others. But you also said that you could send it to animals too, whether it's your pet or some wounded little animal on the street or something like that.
Of course, and although I brought obviously example of a job and, you know, a partner and healing, of course, which why again, when I do energy session, I don't have some special gift, Dave. It's everyone can do it with intention in addition to doing your own work. Because if you go to an energy healer and the practitioner is not aligned with their body, then obviously he or she might do some good, but not as effective. So again, use your ability as a soul within the body. We are so powerful and so loving. Extract that out. As to specifically the visualization of healing, absolutely, to any living being, and that human being, animals, plants, I do that to my plants. You come here and they look like trees. So yes, you can.
Yeah, you can send it not just to animals, but plants and everything else. And if people have done studies on that, it absolutely works. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to get somebody on this show that does that stuff. It's really amazing. Let me ask you. We got time for one more question. I'm going to ask you one question. If when you're meditating and you meditate and you're focused on something, say you're focused on the breath that's going over your lip and into your nose, and you've locked into that and locked into it, and you've really been able to get that, so you're totally locked into it, how do you actually communicate with the spiritual world? Do the thoughts just come to you? You know, you're not thinking about other things. Now all of a sudden you have to think about something else if you're going to communicate. How does that work? You understand my question?
Oh, absolutely, Dave, absolutely. Because that's the main question where people say, how do I know it's not me?
Right.
And the answer to that, there is no doubt that you will know it's not you. First of all, it's a third person talking to you. They usually say, we love you. They give advice. And you would know, Dave. And the main difference, and indeed, it does sound like our own inner voice. However, our own inner voice is louder. It's kind of more upfront. And it's obnoxious. And it's mostly negative. It's just a reflection of our thought within ourselves. Spirits never, ever negative. They're strict. They can be strict teacher. Never. So as you practice to quiet the mind and therefore listen to spirits, by the way, when you get to that point where your mind is quiet, whether through breathing in your example, the moment they realize that our mind is quiet, they use our inner voice system to get to us. So the moment they realize the mind is quiet, they start talking to us. And again, it's just a matter of practice, which why it doesn't take one day or 2 days. You need to do it again and again. But then you're going to realize that it's loving, softer, kind of more in the background. And the more you practice, you're going to certainly hear, if someone said, this is me, your spirit guide or guardian angel, you're also going to get to know them, because they have different style of talking. Archangels are different than the guardian angel, different than spirit guide. Certainly departed loved one would tell you things that you used to have in common. So again, it's a matter of, if you are interested in communicating with spirit, you have to have a war against your busy mind, and okay, then you can do it.
Yeah, that's very good. Mickey, how we run out of time. How can people get in touch with you and find out about what you're doing or work with you?
So the best is to go to the website, which is mikijacobs.com, and everything is there. Upcoming event, and you know, as you mentioned in the beginning, I have free webinars that I get inspired by spirit as to what subject to teach. So really, that is the best way, as well as schedule a reading. And so the best way is to go to the website.
Okay, great. Mickey, thank you so much for being with us. Mickey Jacobs, you were a great guest. Thank you so much.
I greatly appreciate it, Dave. Thank you.
Obtaining wisdom is a long process, as no one can bestow it on us. The more we talk and hear each other's ideas, the more we'll be able to mature our own views. Questions and answers from the chat room for today's show and other shows will be posted on my website at davidgagan.com. You can ask other questions directly by going to the contact section of my website. I'll publish those answers as well. Also, I cover all these subjects and many more in my book, The Endless Journey. I look forward to sharing our thoughts every Friday morning at 9 a.m. United States Eastern Time here on W4CY.com. This show will be available as a podcast on iHeartRadio early next week. You can also find all the old episodes on the Common Sense Spirituality Show on iHeartRadio at iHeart.com. Truth is indeed stranger than fiction, and it turns out to be an amazingly good news story. We all have a great destiny ahead of us. Let me leave you with one last thought. You are a unique spirit having a life experience. You are far more important in the grander scheme of things than you can possibly realize. Enjoy your life. You've earned it.